Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Wow, three in a row. Take a deep breath. Exhale. Three in a row. We went, Andy, from actual conception and births of human beings in between the amount of time Roma won victories in Serie A away from home. And we've gone from that, actual humans going from conception to walking this planet, to Roma winning three away matches in a row in Serie A. Before getting into that, our wonderful patrons, thank you for your support. Patreon.com/RomaPress at IS Roma Press on social media, YouTube, like, subscribe, all of that wonderful stuff, which allows us to continue what we are doing here. I feel like we are the commentators from Dodgeball, because all I kept thinking when I saw Sule score that goal was when the one guy goes, "Cotton needs no shorts," because of how excited he was getting. That's what I felt like you had to have been, because Sule, he gets the goal. He not only gets it off a set piece, he gets it early. Well, not early in the first half, I should say early in the match, midway through the first half. It comes on the heels of Roma being denied a penalty by VAR and Parma having somebody sent off. But there's so many aspects of tonight, Andy, that I like, that I think are going to go underappreciated. I said this immediately in my post-match reaction. How often have we seen matches where Roma, they want to rest the likes of Dovbyk, Paulo Dybala, and every single time, almost as if it were a guarantee, they are forced to come into the match and make a 15 to 20 minutes cameo because Roma cannot get it done. They are in their own way. They're not finding the back of the net, or they manage to do that and they are punished and they have to chase the match at the end. Doesn't it seem like 99% of the time when either Paulo Dybala, Dovbyk has to rest, they always have to be forced into the match without exception? Can you recall the last time where they didn't? Because my gosh, just that alone was enough for me to feel an added sense of elation to see that Dovbyk did not have to come in for that guaranteed 15 minutes cameo where Roma are just hoofing the ball forward because they can score against Parma. My heart was so warmed after watching that today. But what was it for you? Because, Sule, that had to, come on, man. That was like vintage Kolarov, that goal, yeah?
Well, finally, it's about time that Sule gets this moment. I don't remember against whom it was earlier this season. Not even that long ago, where he took a shot outside from way out, and it was a curling shot, and yes, it hit the crossbar. Was it against Genoa? I don't remember, but it was where he goes. You can see that he believes the ball is going to go in, and the ball just betrays him at the last second. And that was so frustrating, because you can see that this is a guy that is working on himself, that Ranieri is working on inserting. He goes from, we all expected Baldanzi to be playing from the start, yes, tonight, because of his appearance against Porto. We didn't expect Sule to start over Baldanzi. It seemed like now Ranieri was pivoting more to using the ex-Empoli player. And instead, Sule gets his chance. With Dybala not on the pitch, he becomes that link, that fire, yes, that Roma needed, that spark. He was the guy to make it happen, because that's the thing. When Dybala is missing, or when both of them were playing at the same time, you always feel like, gosh, who's going to light the fire? Whose turn is it going to be? And tonight, I thought Sule responded well to the idea that he has to be the guy, that this is his chance to show that Roma did not make a mistake in relying on him to be the Dybala 2.0. And obviously it was also very welcome for Shomurodov to last all 90 minutes, you know. This is a guy that you will always get effort no matter what, whether he takes a shot on goal, whether the performance is good or not. You will see him on the pitch. Like you will see him on the pitch, regardless of if he scores or not. I thought the important thing was exactly to keep Artem Dovbyk on the bench, to keep Dybala on the bench, to keep Mats Hummels on the bench. In the sense that we have to, at some point down the road, we all knew that there would have to be the time where we rely on depth. Now, it can be scary because, again, this is a season where we've made so many mistakes that we cannot make any more mistakes. So relying on guys like Gurna Duat or Salah Eddin from the start, who gets his debut, it's risky. It's always risky. It will always be risky, especially at this moment in time during the season where the schedule is so tough. But you cannot do otherwise. You have to commit yourself to this philosophy, to the philosophy of Ranieri, who perhaps, you know, I doubt that this is his preferred way of working, in the sense to rely on these guys whom, you know, he can say all he wants. I doubt that he was eagerly watching Salzburg games to scout Gurna Duat, or same thing for Salah Eddin. But it's like, we've seen what happens when if you run Angelino into the ground, which is what was happening with Juric at the helm, and Angelino has been giving you excellent performances. Well, you have to give him a breather. You have to work in his favor. You have to meet him halfway. He is going to give you amazing performances, but you have to give him a chance to clear his brain for a bit, to rest his legs. And so tonight I thought, listen, you're playing away, third consecutive victory away from home. Brilliant. Okay. I don't need more than that. Really. I'm low maintenance, John. I don't need more than this. I'll take this scoreline. I'll take the fact that we scored in the first half and nothing else happened. I'll take it because of how it happened, because of what game awaits us midweek. This was crucial.
Well, this was crucial, and I forget which of our patrons, well, many of them pointed it out, but I think we said it prior to the first leg against Porto. When you look at Roma's league calendar, these next 5 to 7 matches are all against teams that, whilst they are near the bottom of the table, I think their next 7 are against their next 7 are against the bottom 7, including tonight's against Parma. Even if it is against the bottom 7, these are teams that Roma have dropped many points against earlier in the season. So it can't be taken for granted, but this is the stretch. If there was ever any point in the season where you would be able to make up at least some of the ground that you screwed up tremendously in the first 3 months of the season, it was going to be this stretch. There is no other choice. They had to. You can't be dropping points against some of these teams that they have coming up in the league, particularly again when you have this playoff against Porto sprinkled in between. And just the idea that we are speaking of a third consecutive away win in and of itself seems pretty spectacular. Now, beyond obviously the lone goal, because it is going to appear as if, you know, it was a tight match, maybe it wasn't that much disparity between the two sides. But Andy, I think today you look at possession, the shots created. I mean, Roma, they hit the post. You have obviously Sule finding back of the net on the set piece. But the Parma, I mean, they end the match with an XG of under 0.3. They created nothing. The defense, again, I just want to say, Zeki Salik, everybody is quick to try to assassinate my boy and try and have him catch strays for very, very, very petty reasons. I thought he was superb again tonight. Superb when he's playing in that back three. Filling
well,
in
well because I think, isn't it because we know what happens usually to your boys? Who was your boy in 2010? Who was the wonder kid? Who was the Italian talent that you thought Berti? Was going to be the next? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. that was your boy.
Stefano.
Stefano. Yeah. Stefano. I'm just saying, if people are worried about Zeki Salik being called your boy, it's for good reason, John.
My track record, Dion Wara. we could go.
Oh
down
yeah,
the
Amadou. VR. It's true. He was your boy too. I remember.
I mean, yes. Listen. Anytime I metaphorically try to adopt somebody that I want to put all of my stock in, traditionally,
didn't you put your stock in Juric like I did also?
Well, hey, listen, I'm ready to turn it around because yeah. Sule is why anybody who subjected themselves to Frosinone football last season, I mean, it was so clear that this guy was able to shoulder such a huge, 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 tremendous burden for a team, let's remember, managed by Eusebio. And it was such weird because we've spoken of it so many times on here about what an awkward sort of trajectory he has had in this first season at Roma with De Rossi. And then he just falls off of a cliff under Ivan Juric. And then you have Ranieri coming in. He praises the guy, seemingly going out of his way to praise the guy, yet he still can't get onto the pitch. But he's maintaining that he is the future of Roma. He is the future of Roma. And I'm fairly certain, I just saw him say it on television behind me right now. Again, that, I'm watching he did it again, Ranieri, that Mattia Sule is going to be the future, part of the future of Roma. So you hear him say it again and again and again and again, but he's not getting on the pitch. And then finally he gets his opportunity. And I mean, he made the most of it today, even beyond the goal. I thought he was good. I believe he had two shots on target, two key passes, 6 of 8 ground duels, 1. I mean, he had a very good performance just beyond the goal. And when you have somebody as influential as Paulo Dybala unavailable, you are obviously not going to get somebody as a replacement who is even half of the quality or level of Paulo Dybala. But this is somebody who can clearly, as far as characteristics and growth potential, he can clearly get not at that level, but he can come close, in my opinion. I think he just needs an opportunity. I'm very happy for him because it just seemed like, man, he was sort of stuck in the mud there, so to speak, for a while. It's sort of he was brought here to be this wunderkind, so to speak, and it's been such a difficult and curious first season for him that you almost wonder. Yeah.
For everybody. It's been difficult for everybody. So, of course, it was going to be difficult for a guy that came through Frosinone. And then remember the welcome that he gets at the airport. I mean, we've said it so many times that in this place, you burn just as easily as you're hailed a hero. And Mattia Sule, when he arrived here, I mean, do we remember the partying that went on at the airport, the welcome that he got, the thousands of fans that got around
him? I still
have
the video on my phone from my man.
Insane. It was truly insane for a kid of his age and a kid who came from that context. It was always going to be challenging. I mean, it was challenging for Edin Dzeko, okay? A veteran. When he came to Roma, he was a veteran. He had won with Manchester City. He had been an important striker at Wolfsburg. So, of course, it was going to be difficult for Mattia Sule. And it's going to be, it's not like this game, let me be clear, because it's not like this game is going to turn everything around for him. But this has to be an important sign for him, like an important reason to believe in himself that he fits this context. a player that arrives for that kind of fee cannot be linked with an exit from Roma in January. You know, we were seeing unbelievable stuff being said about him, about Real Betis being interested in him, about all kinds of Italian teams, Genoa being interested in him. No way. You cannot do that. He came here for an important fee, and he's going to be an important player for Roma. And that has to be the player's mentality, the club's mentality, Ranieri's mentality in utilizing him from now on.
Yeah, absolutely. I also, the thing from today, just these little subtleties that will probably be overlooked or at least not appreciated enough. Andy, how many times do we see Roma when there's a refereeing decision that goes against them? Like we saw today, we think they have a penalty. VAR overturns it, and you just see the life drain from their face, and it's almost as if the death blow was sort of delivered to them, and they just cannot respond, ever. I mean, that seems to be more often the rule rather than the exception. It always seems like anytime the refereeing decision goes against them, they have this mental block, this mental hurdle that they cannot get over. And yet today, and I, by the way, I don't give a shit if it's just Parma, okay? This team has dropped so many points to inferior opponents this season. Give me a break. If it's supposed to be a big deal if they lose to those teams then, well, we can at least give them some semblance of praise when they are able to get a victory over them. To see them punish an opponent, by the way, after the opponent makes a mistake, sending off less than like 60 seconds later, goal, back of the net, you punish the opponent right away. Those are just two things that, if you think about AS Roma, are so against what we have been used to seeing season after season after season after season. To finally see them, at least in one game, and I will enjoy it as much as I can, because again, they will likely return to the usual sometime soon. But I'm going to enjoy it tonight, because man, how nice is it to actually see Roma be the ones doling out the punishment for the opponent making a mistake? How nice is it to see a refereeing decision go against them and they don't hang their heads, and you can just see that they're done? I can't tell you.
It's been a long time. Yes. It's been a long time, and it's happened so many times this season. I remember with Monza, you know, and even refereeing decisions, but even, you know, in a game like Como, playing away against the smaller side, and things are just not going your way. And that Roma was not gonna score ever. Okay, they were basically fooling themselves into believing that, oh, we may get a shot around the 80th minute. And then, nope, it was the opponent who got a shot, and you lost 2-0 because you didn't do enough to win the game. Tonight, Roma did not let themselves down. With the rotations, they still maintained composure and organization at the back. You did not feel like, you know, those typical, say, Europa League nights, remember, in those group stages where you're just throwing random players out there hoping for a miracle, hoping that, hey, they'll pass the time. Hey, something's going to give, you know, something's going to work at the end. Something will stick. Tonight, that wasn't the case. Tonight wasn't the theme. The theme was of a Roma that knew they had to play without Paulo Dybala, with several new players integrated into the squad, and they had to get a win, because again, this is the time of the year where you are forced to experiment, but on the other hand, you're still forced to come up with a result. Like, and so many times during the season, especially earlier on, maybe you have a bit more leeway, you know, you're still out there experimenting, checking out if this guy works in this position, if this guy doesn't work in this position. We are in mid-February. This is not the time for experiments, yet we are compelled to, because, hey, guess what? Our star player is Paulo Dybala, who is fragile. If he gets hurt, the team is going to suffer in the long run. Mats Hummels, defensive leader. Well, he's 36. We got to let him breathe. Leandro Paredes, great, but also needs a breather. So he rests on Thursday, rests against Venezia. It's sort of we have to make it happen for ourselves, because we've been putting it off for too long this season. Now's the time to start picking it up. Obviously, the circumstances are much more difficult, because even a match like this one against Parma, who have been on a dreadful run, was a game that you could not get wrong, and you could not mess up. Yeah.
That poor guy's about to get sacked, no?
Yeah, heck yeah, of course. Yeah. It's going to happen. But, you know, this year, I think the bottom three, Monza, Venezia, and Parma, are just dreadful.
Yes.
Just unbelievably, like, they, it's not even that, oh, they don't deserve it. It's going to happen. Like, it's going to happen. So, but for Roma, this is sort of, I always say it when we get these wins and then I get disappointed on a regular basis, but this was very, very important.
It was, particularly when, again, we consider what is coming up on Thursday. We have the return leg, Roma, Porto. Listen, I don't want to understate, because I was talking out of my backside when I mentioned that, you know, the manner in which they won against Udinese ahead of the Milan Coppa Italia match could have a positive effect. Or wait, it wasn't Udinese, was it? I can't keep all of these matches together. But regardless, that came back to bite me in the backside. But in this case, at least being able to rest Dovbyk, I think that's very important. Getting somebody like Sule this sort of morale boost, so to speak, coming into this, because Dybala not going to be there. Who else are we missing? Cristante, yeah?
No, but Dybala is going to be there. Dybala will be ready on Dybala will be ready on Thursday. Ranieri just said it. Dybala will be available on Thursday. Salamakers is not going to be there, and Cristante is not going to be there.
So I am going to wait.
Dybala and Hummels will both be there.
Okay. Well, now, he did say that about Hummels, and then he ended up riding Pine the other day. But
yeah. No. But he said no. Now he said that he'll probably be starting. So, and Dybala as well, he will be playing. He said he's fine. He just needed to avoid risking him today, which I agree with. So Thursday night, we are only missing Salamakers and Cristante.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to hold my breath. We'll wait and see. Because Paulo Dybala's agent was telling people it is up in the air. But of course, that guy, I mean, at this rate, given his track record, every time he opens his mouth, of course, it should be taken with at least some grain of salt. But I don't know what we can really take from that first leg, because I was rewatching portions of it, and the fact that Roma only came away with a 1-1 draw from that first leg, it was fairly astonishing, because that Porto they did pile on the pressure at the end, but I thought Roma were far, far, far superior over the 90 minutes in that match, and they were not able to get victory. You have to like their chances, though, at home, obviously, though. Yeah, I mean, coming into this, you have, obviously, the supporters are going to be there. But on top of that, they've shown in matches like this, and this is something that is going to be understated, because, again, this Parma is shit. Like you said, Andy, they are horrible. They belong in Serie B. But for Roma to get a victory in the manner in which it did today, where some experimentation, having to rely on guys that typically you would not feel too much confidence in, having to replace your most crucial players. I mean, how many times could we say, if Paulo Dybala, Artem Dovbyk do not play in a match, what is your feeling as to whether or not Roma get 3 points from that game? Odds are you're not going to feel great that Roma are leaving with all 3 points secure. I think just being able to get something from that, and the morale of the others, is really, really, really important, particularly when you have a two-legged affair like this. Now, again, How much of the first leg plays into the second, we have to wait and see. Cristante was so bad in that match that it's hard to imagine that having anybody in his place, a viable corpse, you know, in his place would have given the exact same output. But you have to like the chances, no?
Well, yes, sir. It's, you know, we've said it after the match against Porto, where we saw a team that was in control, and then everything got derailed with Cristante's insanity, with the referee's tendency to give yellow cards left and right. I thought coming out of that stadium with a draw was already something. And I always like Roma's chances when they have the return leg at the Olimpico. It's just, it's on a historical basis. I mean, it's just that the evidence is there that points to a team that always believes that they can make something happen with the support of their fans. It's just, it's undeniable that they just feed off this energy. And that's why, hey, that's been the story of this season, of this last year, that away from home, it always gets tough. And I thought away from home, against Porto, they actually did all right. So in a setting that I considered to be problematic, Roma went in and did an okay job. Now the expectation obviously is that they're going to be playing in front of what, their 60,000 fans. It's going to be, you know, the game is wide open. It's there for the taking. I do not like Salamanca's not being there, because I always think that guy is sort of gives you an undeniable edge, an edge that really makes a world of difference, especially when you have to operate in tight spaces. And I do believe that Porto, they will be waiting in their area, so it's not going to be easy to cut through them. Soundmakers could have made the difference, but hey, guess what? Now you have Baldanzi, who's coming off a good performance against Porto, yes, and you have Sule, who just scored and gave Roma the 3 points against Parma. So naturally, you have to think that that somehow we will be able to find a way to replace Soundmakers and not make his absence be felt. It will be, in my opinion, interesting to see how Ranieri decides to play with Dybala also on the pitch. Could be that, hey, Zeki Selik will be playing on the right flank with Hummels slotting back into the defense, so maybe a more traditional approach. But the point is that you have to go into this game against Porto thinking that these guys, they've also had quite a season of ups and downs. They're still figuring out what their manager wants to do. Their performance at home on last Thursday was nothing special. So why should they be feeling confident going into the Stadio Olimpico on Thursday night? Like, that has to be the killer mentality that Roma have. It just because, and I know that to a degree, at least in this moment, I can rely on that. There are very few things I can rely on Roma to do, but I do think I can rely on them in the fact that they will give more playing in front of their fans. Like, they will meet the moment. I don't think I have to worry about them getting insecure going into this match, because right now, I like my chances. I like Roma's chances. And I do think that Roma also like their chances. Like, I'm pretty sure that when they saw that the Europa League draw gave them the return leg in Rome, I'm pretty sure that everybody was happy at Trigoria.
Yeah, absolutely. We will be back then. Hopefully, we are speaking here after Roma. They're able to get a victory and move on in the Europa League. And then we will see from there what happens. We will return then in a few days. Until then, everyone, ciao.
Ciao.